Well, I'm not concerned if you believe it or not.
I'm supposed to
have a right to an attorney, and I'm not gonna work with this attorney.
Well, that's up to you.
So I hold myself in contempt if you try to pull me up here to court with that attorney.
I'm not concerned if you believe it or not. I told you what your choices are. You can go to trial and I'm not gonna hold myself in contempt. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Go f*** yourself. I'm through here. Y'all done?
I'm finding you in contempt of court.
I don't care.
I know you don't. And I sentence you to 20 days for that. And if you say anything else, I'm going to add 20 days for everything you say.
F*** you.
40 days.
F*** you again.
60.
Go f*** yourself.
A year.
Your mama.
10 years.
Suck my d***.
You know something? This is going to be an interesting trial.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You're not supposed to smile in court. You know that if you smile...
I can smile anytime I want.
It's a violation. Now you're cussing and yelling at me.
I have not cussed.
Yeah, you did.
I am yelling.
Well, go f*** yourself. Suck my d***.
That's why I'm yelling.
Suck my d***.
You know something? You are absolutely the rudest person I think I've ever met.
You reckon if I let you suck my d*** that I could get a fair trial here?
Oh, I don't think so.
I got a big d*** now, and if I pull it out...
I don't think that's gonna get you a fair trial unless you have every one of the jurors do it.
I don't think that mouth is big enough, sir. I've got a big old donkey d***.
You know, I'm sure mine's not.
I've got a big old donkey d*** for that ass.
Good. I'm sure the women love it.
I don't f*** girls.
Oh no. I'm sorry.
I f*** boys.
Oh, I'm sorry. You prefer men.
I f*** boys.
You prefer men, right?
I f*** white boys.
You, white or black?
White boys.
Oh, butt boys?
With big butts.
Oh, of course. You know, you look like a queer.
Well, okay, so now you're calling me a queer in the courtroom?
I didn't call you one. I said you looked like one.
You're yelling.
Do you understand the English language?
Wait, you're yelling. You're laughing.
Do you understand the English language?
This is kangaroo court, sir.
Do you...
It's those two assholes. Those two idiots you saw me talking to at the third rail.
Just he doesn't want to touch the third rail.
That's, you've hit the third rail for sure.
That is the third rail, saying white people have interest.
Third rail. The third rail here is another wonderful show on the TRS network.
And it's the third rail. You will be destroyed.
It's the third rail. You will be destroyed.
Watch out for the third rail, baby. That's high voltage.
And the opinion of this reporter, if this nation, or in fact the world, ever needed heroes, that time is now. That time is now.
It is episode 209, 209, the most huggable Chris Chan following podcast, I guess, since 1973, the third rail? I don't know. We are coming to you almost live in the mobile third rail studio where you are a Wookiee. You will never be a real Ewok. Hi, how are you? It is Spectre. What you heard at the beginning was the transcript from the Virginia case, Virginia versus Chris Chan. I thought it was appropriate. But joining me here, we have Nike. How are you doing, my swarthy friend?
I'm doing quite well. How's yourself?
I'm doing good. Jesus Christ, that you can't get audio or video from the Virginia courtrooms. It's transcript only. But if you read it, I mean, I feel really actually bad for the first time ever for a judge. Because Chris Chan's like stomping his feet, demanding his toys, correcting the genders. I mean, it's just glorious. I love seeing the system fall apart.
Oh, it's an absolute like embodiment of this country in its current state. This is a official proceeding, and it's just a clown show. Everyone involved is a joke.
The Rick and Morty thing was actually also from a transcript from a real trial, but I think the Chris Chan thing's got to be better. Just from a, you know, like, we got to get that to the right people.
You say better, I say worse.
Well, worse, better.
But it's for
at this point, we're all in hell, so. Thing.
Yeah.
In hell, you know, good is bad, bad is good, whatever. All right. Well, joining us later, DK will be joining us in a little while. He's out doing his meditation, his racist meditations, and hopefully, I have not heard from him. I know that he's like on a tight schedule, but Coach will be joining us, so that'll be cool. In the meanwhile, let me run a few things out the ringer here. Dark Enlightenment was on Action Zealandia, and so you need to tune in there. We'll have the show notes in the show notes, the link to that. He had a really good turnover there. Let's see now. What else can we plug in the short term? I don't care. Did you? Speaking of the "You'll Never Be a Real Ewok," the protest that was canceled at Sucre and Son Star Wars shop in Washington.
Canceled. Yes, I heard.
It's amazing. As Borzoi said, it's amazing what happens when you have just a little bit of solidarity.
Andy Ngo was suggesting that it was specifically because of counter-protesters. I want to believe that. I also think it could just be the people who were trying to pull it together realized it wasn't coming together and had to call it off and blamed it on safety when really, like, just nobody was going to do it. I don't know. I don't know the city of Aberdeen, Washington. Is it another libtard place in that state?
Well, from what I understand, it's a little further east from the coast. So once you get inland in that area, you get it to normal people again, away from like Seattle and Portland and all that. And also, the particulars of this town is it used to be a timber town. And apparently the lumber industry is pretty much dead there. So it's one of those little small towns that still exists, but kind of on inertia rather than any particular industry or reason for it to stay there. So, you know, the economy's not good. People are, you know, worried about jobs. They're worried about their kids. They're worried about, you know, that sort of thing. But they have a city council person. I'm not going to say they have a city councilman in a dress who –
A city council faggot.
Yes, yeah. Who, I don't know, did you say, like, you know, with everybody's mask, you never have quite an idea. The guy's like 6 foot tall, just, you know, it's literally a dude in a dress. It's not even like pretending to pass. He kind of looks like a really old Robert Carlyle from Trainspotting, like a greasy faced, but like if Robert Carlyle was like redoing the role of Buffalo Bob from Silence of the Lambs. Really creepy, scary looking dude.
Oh yeah, no, this is an ugly motherfucker. Even if he didn't go trans, he'd still be like quite ugly.
Yeah, and he's all greasy face. And like, anytime I see somebody like offers this as a publicity picture, like one of those really horrible, like you're just like, you had a professional person shoot your photos. You picked from several, and you said this is the best one. This is the winner. This is the one that's really going to make my impression. This is what I want to represent myself. I don't understand people like that. Maybe I'm just too vain. I don't know.
Oh, I forgot. Aberdeen was the hometown of Kurt Cobain.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
not that
yeah,
I
care. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know anything about this town until this week.
Now I'm reading it and jogging my memory.
Oh,
apparently it was a. Called the Hellhole of the Pacific and the Port of Missing Men due to its high murder rate back in the 1900s.
Can you imagine what a horrible...
Oh, hey, DK, how you doing, sir?
Hey, how's it going? I was going to say, can you imagine what a horrible libtard Kurt Cobain would be today? Just the retarded shit he would be saying if he was still alive?
I don't like to think about it, so... Because it didn't because I don't have to live in that reality, I'm just going to choose to say... No, he wouldn't. He'd be our guy.
Yo, that's think about that. That it's been what 24 years, 26 years since his death, his suicide. In just that space of time, I mean, you can't even imagine. As libtarded and shitty as he was, you can't even imagine him like reacting to this world that we live in now.
He probably would have been canceled.
Yeah, he might have said something like, you know, well, I just like women, you know, and canceled. I don't know. I'm sure the TDS guys covered it yesterday. I have not had a chance to catch up, but I'm just really impressed with the owner. I mean, now somebody has raised the point that Sucre and the guys is kind of an old dude. I'm like, you know, at this point, it doesn't matter. He's a proxy for white men. Number one, he says he was a Vietnam veteran. Not a whole lot of Jews, you know, actually get drafted. So kind of questionable that, you know, it doesn't matter to me. He's a proxy for white men. He's a proxy for normal people. And he handled it perfectly. He didn't apologize. He didn't, you know, go into, well, you have your right to. He's like, everybody's sick of this. Everybody hates this. No one's fooled by you. You're a dude. And he did not back down. And I'm just like, you know, everybody knows base boomer and all that. But that's the way you handle these things. You say no. And nobody likes this. You're a freak. You're wrong. You're not normal. Go away. I don't know. DK, what's going on, brother?
Oh, sorry. Right. I was just going to, on that note. Sorry, I'm out of sync. What were you saying, DK?
Oh, I wasn't saying anything.
I was just going to note that one thing that I don't believe the TDS guys covered, because that's sort of, I don't know how much you already talked. Sorry, I know I'm joining a little late. Have you talked about it in some? I mean, I guess I don't, at a certain level, I don't know
not
what else
really.
To say.
No, we opened it with a joke about you'll never be a real Ewok. You're a Wookiee.
I
didn't want to go too deep into it because it's just kind of obvious. We were celebrating the fact that the Troons called off their protest.
Right. Yeah, I saw that. I think the bigger point here, I've listened to the first half of yesterday's TDS. I haven't yet had a chance. I think they talked about this incident at the very end, but I've been going over this in my head because I think I've mentioned before on the program and generally I have a kind of ongoing dialogue with some leftoid, mostly Jewish feminist, like self-described Buddhists who don't actually believe any of the truth claims of Buddhism. And one of the major sticking points, to the extent that I was actually, I am sort of working on getting our back archive back up, but I think the first kind of new content I want to do with Right Wing Dharma Squads is specifically tackling this issue of, like, you know, all the problems with gender identity from a Buddhist perspective. And there's a lot to say at a kind of high, you know, analytic, big brain type level. And some of that has been said before in kind of other contexts, and normie conservatives, for all their failings, have done an okay job sometimes of doing this. But really, I mean, I go back and forth on the value of that approach at all. Not to say that I won't do it, just because it kind of needs to be done in this very narrow context. But the Grug approach is better. Like, Sven has the right idea here, I think, of, like, you don't argue with these people. You just redact them, right? Like, there's no value in.
I have nothing to gain by speaking to this person. Yeah, exactly. Right.
We're not having arguments with these people.
Base Goethe. Somebody's in the chat saying it's Buffalo Bob from Silence of the Lambs. Is that right? Is it Buffalo Bill or Buffalo Bob?
Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill is definitely Buffalo Bill.
Maybe I'm thinking of Sideshow Bob then.
On which note, I don't know if you guys saw this, and the I don't know that the it seems that the news is kind of being suppressed, but there was an update in the Jeff Younger case. Do you remember this? The case with this guy in Texas whose 8-year-old son is being, like, forcibly taken away from him by his psychotic ex-wife, and the state together collaborating. The update is, as you know, as you can imagine, just as we live on piss earth hell realm, and he's basically been ordered. I got some conflicting reports, but basically he's lost any and all custody. The psychotic ex-wife has now full custody, full ability. Any kind of visit between the father and the son is supervised by the state at the father's expense. And I'm inclined to believe just the, like, kind of, I don't know, I haven't been able to
get my rib cage is bursting open as FedPost wants to get out.
Jesus Christ,
this world we live in.
Oh, myself as well. Yeah. I mean, from what I understand, I saw conflicting reports that, like, basically if there's going to be some kind of, quote, gender transition, that it would require his permission even so. But then I saw his other indications that that's not necessarily the case. I don't know what to believe. I mean, the bottom line is he's been cut out of the loop, essentially, on the decision-making process. That's the substance of this judge's order. One of the interesting angles to this, which, I mean, again, it's not like... just probably worth mentioning, is Governor Greg Abbott, who's, I guess, on the short list with Ron DeSantis and Josh Hawley of, you know, the GOP bench for the 2024 election. That's totally real and very, very important. I'll make sure to, you know, this is all sarcasm, obviously. That Abbott, after this came down the pike, made a big show without directly mentioning it, this particular case, of, like, banning physical, surgical, making a panel or something, some kind of governmental, like, he's exploratory, right? Of, like, we're planning on doing something in the future about putting together a thing about investigating whether or not we should chop the dicks off of children. And one of the people on the which also is not even in stake here, because the issue for this young man is or this boy is he's like eight, would be like puberty blockers and chemical sterilization rather than like surgical mutilation. So it's not even that it wouldn't even do anything to address the kind of this immediate need. And one of the doctors Greg Abbott,
I've got to throw this in there.
Yeah, please.
As with all people in America, the people who are involved in this, who are making this happen, have names. They have names
and address.
We can find out who they are.
In fact, they sleep in a place.
They sleep in one
place where they sleep.
Yeah, just like everybody else in America. And so I just want that noted for the permanent record, such that when, you know, I'm going to shut up because you know I'm going to say something wrong here. I'm just so angry.
Well, so Mr. Greg Abbott based. Yeah, please.
Because this could really lead into like, because of the trickle in with people coming in and the opening, I forgot to introduce one of the most important people here, the one guy who's making this possible. Frank is here. He's our producer. Frank, are you there, sir? Thank you for being
That's
here.
That's so gay.
Hello,
you faggot.
So you're a queer, aren't you?
Fag, queer,
faggot.
What are you, a fag?
The moment you walk into a Star Wars gift shop.
Well, hey, maybe they can sentence Chris Chan to the custody of Mr. Sucre. He always needed a father figure, right? Mr. Sucre could be that for Chris Chan. And he's got the Star Wars. I mean, why wouldn't he want to be there? Look, I have this store. I have these toys. You can play with them, but you have a dick. You're not a chick.
I don't know. The Chris Chan might try to molest him.
Yeah, that's true. DK, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail you, but
no. It's
you
good.
Were
Thank
actually.
You.
I was getting so. I mean, I normally can like come up with some clever way of talking around those kind of things that I want to say. I couldn't at that moment. I was getting so angry.
I don't blame you at all. And I, you know, as father of boys, it makes my blood boil. Quite. I mean, I just don't even know what to say at that level. I mean, there's not. I mean. Well, I have a note on that in a second, I guess, just one quick thing. But, Greg Abbott, who's, you know, a super-based GOP man and really sticking it to Biden over the border,
sure you can't protest Israel.
Exactly. He put one of the doctors, like, who's involved on the side of giving this young boy, like, hormonal sterilization treatment. Is on the panel that he put together to explore the issue of should we chop the dicks off of boys or not. So that's what this is and where this is going.
We look at the fucking Aztecs and the Mayans and we say what barbarians they were. We have no regret over ending their human sacrifice and the just gory, awful, horrible things they did. How is this any different? We're mutilating boys in service of some demonic god.
And pumping our girls full of sterilizing.
One of the reasons why we don't have the same outrage towards it is because we don't have giant pyramids, which, you know, we gather the public to watch it happen. But if we did, you damn know that there'd be angry mobs tearing that shit down. It's because it's behind closed doors, out of sight, out of mind, until, you know, they put it on television, in which case it's still not physically in front of you. It's just a image on a screen. Because it's kept away from the public space to such an extent, that's the only reason why it's still able to happen. Otherwise, you'd have book burnings.
Yeah.
Can I jump in with some direct quotes on the story here from the Texan?
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
Get some things straight. So the judge put out an order that says the mother is allowed to withhold information from Mr. Younger, quote, regarding the child's extracurricular activities, school functions, school enrollment, counseling, and medical care. The Mother has exclusive right to consent to James's medical procedures except for hormone suppression therapy, puberty blockers, or transgender reassignment surgery. So,
I'm just guessing the only reason for all this at this point is because, and somebody said this in the chat, Moorlock is just tired of just foreskins. He wants more.
Yeah.
This is like a
quagmire, a huge mess for the family.
Diggity.
But I think for where things stand, the child is going to be safe from having his body destroyed by a doctor.
For now, the problem is his mind, right? Because if the mother, as it's said here, is she has.
She can
basically
counseling
the ability
without
to do
letting the dad know what counseling the kid's getting.
So if she
presumably he'd be able to tell when he talks to his son.
Well, the son is, I mean, it's true he's old enough now that he presumably has more agency. Like, you know, I think this started when he was like 4 or 5 or something. It's been going on for a couple of years. And I mean, I think with a 4 or 5 year old, it's a little different in terms of, you know, just like, it's just different. And now, but who knows how badly she's warped his mind.
Was he really that
already.
Young?
Yeah.
I thought he was like 8.
Maybe he was. No, he's 8 now.
He's 8 now, yeah, because
this has been going on for a couple of years.
Looney Younger?
Yeah.
Battle over
Unity. James.
Yeah. James Younger, sorry. I'm just not pulling up the headline, so that's where I saw Luna. I just want to make sure I wasn't looking at the right one. Yeah, he's like 7 years old. Boy, he's still, I mean, he single mom. He's going to be wanting to make his mom happy.
Okay, he was 7 in, I guess, on October 24th, 2019. So he must be like 9 now, but that had already been going on long. So he was 7 at the oldest when this started, and probably, I presume, it had been going on. I remember when the story broke in 2019. It's not like it started in 2019, right?
No.
So he was like 5 or 6. Yeah.
Yeah, his mom's a pediatrician,
and not even his biological mother. I think they had an egg donor.
Something like that, yeah. I remember there was like additional pediatrician who conceived the child through in vitro fertilization. Jeez, I mean, this is all.
And here, I just want to go ahead because Greg Abbott wanted to talk a big, talk tough on this. He's just like DeSantis. These guys talk, and nothing happens. They're so full of shit. The only time they ever take action is in defense of anti-BDS, pro-Israel stuff. They don't do shit. And they're actually worse than useless because they get, they give a speech and like the normicons are like, oh yeah, based, that's taken care of. But this poor little boy is still in custody of this psychotic woman and an entire court system hell-bent on, I guess, virtue signaling?
Not just that.
At the cost of a human being's life?
I don't think that it's purely a pecuniary motive. And I think Abbott, like, is just owned by Zog, obviously, and so it's not. I mean, this is all just a big show. He's either on board or it's just purely cynical or some combination. That said, apparently Jack Hadfield of the National File reported that he received hundreds of thousands of dollars. Greg Abbott did, from a PAC for a clinic that offers hormone treatment to allegedly transgender children. UT's Southwestern Medical Center hosts the Gender Education and Care Interdisciplinary Support Program, which is the, quote, first and largest program in the Southwest that provides multidisciplinary care to transgender children and adolescents. While this program does not offer surgery to children, it does offer a number of so-called treatments, quote-unquote, that may amount to chemical castration, including hormone therapy, menstruation suppression, and puberty suppression. Campaign finance records show that the Friends of UT Southwestern Center handed out well over $250,000 to a number of top Texas politicians, including, of course, Governor Greg Abbott, who received $85,000 from this transgender clinic PAC. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick received over $120,000 since 2015. Newly elected House Republican, Rock Rib Republican Speaker Dade Phelan was given $50,000 in the 2020 cycle by the Trans Kids PAC, and
what
so on down the line.
What the fuck is going on here?
I'll tell you what it is. It's the Stryker's Law. Stryker's Law. Every Republican male should be considered a homosexual until proven otherwise, and every Republican woman is a whore or a porn star.
Is it too late to call an optics check on this? Like, you are literally a Republican Party elected official. Like, do people just not know about this? Or no. What?
You know, it's not widely published.
Of course, yeah. I know National File is, I guess, kind of like a alt-light-ish type outfit. I see their stuff pop up from time to time. And they don't get any traction. I mean, this is a case where I think, like, you know, maybe Stryker or some of our guys could signal boost. I mean, I guess we're signal boosting it now. But this is not going to get play on Tucker Carlson. It's not going to. You think Tucker Carlson's going to be like, Greg Abbott received $250,000 for, I mean, the Texas GOP from this trans kid.
It does sound like something that, right? Could be up his alley. I mean, it's also not like a very, in and of itself, it's not a very substantial position. Like it's also, everyone would be outraged by that when hearing it. Like, if you're a conservative of the Fox News watching variety. I don't know why, like, primary challengers to these people aren't, like, running ads like
that.
Well,
they have. That's how I learned about it. That's part of what it was. There's apparently Abbott has I don't know how good people he is. I presume.
Publicizing.
Yeah, there are people.
Let me ask you this, just real quick. If Greg Abbott, during the campaign, had received a contribution of $85,000 from the Free Palestine lobby, do you think he would have returned that money? Would he made us think about, I'm not taking money from somebody who's anti-Israel? Of course he would. That would have been he would have gotten out of his goddamn wheelchair to stand up for Israel again, to say, we reject the money and the hate and the agenda that they want to push with this. But the tranny people give him $85,000? Thank you.
Thank you,
Makabazi conservatives.
Yeah.
Did you just come up with that, or is that that's a great term?
Sagarek is like killing it today in the chat.
That's
he already
fantastic. Quoted. Bakabazi conservatism.
Bakabazi conservatism, yes. Maybe the show title.
I think that's our early lead contender. Yes.
Good job, Sagarek.
I don't even think you'd need to go so far as like taking money from the, you know, from Hamas or whatever, some Hamas, you know, sympathetic group. Like, there's lots. I mean, you know.
$85,000 for the two-state solution pack.
Exactly.
Anything short of Israel now, Israel forever.
Ugh, I'm so angry.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Republican Party. Yep. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to derail, but I thought that was worth mentioning, especially since it's kind of late breaking news. And
you're pretending like I have on prep.
Well, our special guest will be getting to us very soon. He's actually running late for typical and good reasons. He's out being a dad, being a proper dad.
I'll save it for when he arrives. I was wondering. I was like, "Where's Coach? I thought he was coming."
Yeah, he's coming. There's something funny that I don't even know if he wants to talk about on the air, but Frank knows what I'm talking about. But Frank, did you have some drop you wanted to play? Do we want a little palate cleanser after all this disgusting shit?
Fucking nigger.
That wasn't it.
Is really just Israel.
Okay, I'll take it.
You know, Spectre is really just Israel. Spectre is Spectre is really just Israel, and you know.
Fuck.
Oh God! They become Spectre agents, so they start co-hosting Third Rail.
Yeah, it's like Nikkei and Borzoi.
Yeah, ouch. I heard that. Fuck. Yeah, that was them yesterday on TV.
Have I been kicked out of the show? Has my membership card been revoked at the TRS casino?
Congratulations. You are Israel.
we haven't even gotten to the table of contents. Basically, we're just shitposting until Coach gets here, and then we'll leave like 10 minutes after he gets here and leave it to him to finish the show. How about
y'all hear about Hezbollah restarting the white boy summer again, firing it
God
back up?
Warriors. God,
Hezbollah fires rockets at Israel as risk of escalation looms.
No, okay.
This is from the New York Times. Tensions between Israel and Iran and its Hezbollah allies intensified, as both sides signaled they had no interest in an all-out war. Well, I'm signaling. Can you hear me? I'm signaling.
I very much have an interest in this. This is relevant to my interests.
Yes. Hezbollah, the Iran-backed Lebanese militant group, claimed responsibility for firing a volley of rockets over Israel's northern frontier on Friday. The latest in a spat of tit-for-tat cross-border... Now we got some. Oh no, this is the Israeli artillery, of course, of course. So naive of me to just assume. Yeah, the actual howitzer, you know, that's the picture for the article. The article titled "Hezbollah fires rockets," and the picture is an Israeli howitzer shooting a round off.
Jesus.
Anyway. Yes, the latest in a spat of tit-for-tat cross-border attacks that have ratcheted up regional tensions. The salvo was significantly larger than a few previous rocket launches from Lebanon in recent weeks, and the first to be claimed by Hezbollah in many years. On Friday afternoon, Israel's political and security leaders held consultations about how to respond. Hostilities were the most recent in a long shadow war between Israel and Iran and its proxies by land, air, and sea, which has increasingly flared into the open. Tensions between Israel and Iran's allies have been further heightened by the expectations that Israel may soon retaliate for an attack last week on an Israeli-linked merchant ship in the Indian Ocean. The two countries have repeatedly attacked each other's ships at sea over the past 2 years. In particular, Israel has targeted Iranian vessels carrying fuel or weapons from Iran to its allies. Israel and several major powers have blamed Iran for the attack last week, which killed two foreign nationals aboard the ship, a Romanian officer and a British security guard. On Friday, the foreign ministers of the U.S., Britain, Japan, Canada, Germany, France, Italy, and the European Union issued a joint statement condemning what it called, quote, a deliberate and targeted attack, adding that all available evidence clearly points to Iran.
So I want to add some bits of context to this, because this is actually a much bigger story than people really understand.
We gotta take a little time out because somebody has joined us. I know he's been doing some great dad stuff. Finstock, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, glad to be here, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. Only took you, 3-4 years to invite me on?
You were a little bit shady with your background. You didn't really pass the test, you know? There was some suspicion you might be a Fed.
Not retarded enough? Yeah.
Well, not retarded enough, and we heard you might be a Fed. And so there was that.
Only the
turns out you were, in a way.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Just blowing me up right into the deep end here, Spectre. Thank you. God, I'd expect nothing less. Yeah. No, I was
4 years. Just 4 years of not inviting, just for the very moment you come on to start tearing you down.
I know. I'll see you guys later. Going to go hang out with my kid.
Your kids don't have such harsh words to say to you ever, and you know Spectre is just a big bully, depending on where you're standing.
I'm actually glad, Coach, that you missed the first 30 minutes, because I know you like to keep your language clean and upright and proper. And believe me, the Fed post inside me was dying to get out over some.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard, Coach. We were discussing a little bit the Jeff. There's been development in the Jeff Younger case, in the James Younger case. Jeff is the father. James is the son in Texas, and you know this 8-year-old who's being
taken away by his non-biological mother to be converted or transformed.
I did hear that.
Transform and roll out.
Grapevine. Yeah, I know. What a nightmare for a father. And you know, it reminds you of all those other cases where vigilantism comes into picture. And yep. when you're a father and they're literally threatening to cut your son's balls off, all options are on the table, as they say.
I was thinking about Lewis and I were discussing Marty's book, culture terror and a lot is, you know, making the rounds in our thing. And I think a lot, you know, you should read it if you haven't. Spoiler alert, I guess, but one of the big kind of things that happens towards the end is it's revealed that the governor, who's, you know, at the center of the novel, had intimations of, or he had a gamer moment.
IRL.
Yeah, he had a heated gamer moment, and he's like, I'm going to go do very bad things to Congress. IRL, and he had to have his, you know, basically white nationalist, anti-Semite, Nazi type uncle literally slap him so hard he saw stars to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Sorry, excuse my language, don't do that. That's a waste of everything. It's not going to accomplish anything. And I was thinking about that in the aftermath. I was thinking, like, you know, it's really true. Like, we obviously are very, we're a very peaceful, very nonviolent movement, political change, et cetera. But, beyond that kind of as a practical or even moral matter, you know, one of the problems with doing that is that it would just make everything worse. It would just lead to increased repression. It wouldn't actually change anything right. important about Zog. So then I was thinking, you know, well, what under what circumstances would something like that, you know, and then I was thinking, well, you know, in a situation like that confronting James Younger, it's like, you have now given me nothing to lose. So just food for thought, I guess.
Yeah, your kids are the red line, right? And we all know that they're sort of doing an end run around parents with cultural programming and things like that. And now they're accelerating. They're going from soft gay tyranny to hard gay tyranny. And
just this week they were talking about porn for children.
Yeah.
Did you not see that?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, I did.
Being floated by...
She was like the daughter of the former interior minister of the UK or something. It was like yeah. some high up UK muckety muck, like government official's daughter who was like, we should really think about like what kind of porn is good for kids.
I feel like they're stepping this up because for the very thing that Coach said, but because it is such a red line, like they haven't been able to provoke what they want from us, you know, from white nationalists in general, as well as just conservatives. They haven't been able to provoke the false flag that they want to crack down further. But this is a place where if they keep pushing, I'm just going to say this, and I'm quoting someone who said, when you start treating people or when you start pushing people out of civilization, and when civilization becomes so corrupt and evil, why are you surprised when people start acting uncivilized in response? Simple as that. I mean, it's your children. I want Coach to take the floor since he just got here with us, and I know he's got some thoughts on this.
Oh, of course. Thanks. And sincere apologies for being late. I didn't mean to be disrespectful, but I ran a five, speaking of our kids and being wholesome and healthy, ran a 5K with my oldest son today, to give you a little bit of a white pill and heartwarming. And he was the fastest in his age group. And I was the fastest in the 40 to 49. See, nice. Spectre, by getting old, you get a benefit, and that's, you get to compete against geezers in these competitions.
Oh God. Yes. Like I'm loving that. The only other thing good about getting old is as your vision fades, right when you start getting wrinkles. So you look in the mirror, you don't see them.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, when it and this stuff that they're doing to us and against our kids is, you know, it's horrible to think of bad things as good for us. But in this case, it really crosses lines and breaks things down. You don't have to explain that the Jews are behind it. I mean, of course, that's a benefit and you should. But regular, normal people understand and see what's going on. I can give you a very good example. A guy that I see every once in a while around here, he's sort of a Q adherent, still clinging to a little bit of Trump hope. And he said, you know, these people, they're going to get lead poisoning one day. And he wasn't Fed posting, but I looked at him and I said, "Hoo boy." I said, "All right, that's taking it to another level. Sorry about the damn African birds behind me." Yeah, all right, that's real local flavor here in the country. And I said, "All right." And I was like, "Okay, buddy." And then he says, well, he looks at me in the eye with these steely eyes and he says, "Dude, they're coming after our children." And I was like, "Okay, all right." This guy gets it, even if he doesn't understand all the minutia of who's behind it and who's perpetrating it and the give or take. So that is, I mean, you know, I'm not being cynical or opportunistic here about like bad things good for us, but it's just true. And well, that, have to point it out. And at some point, like in this case of James Younger, you're right. When it comes to your kids, that's the red line that you will not allow them to cross. And I would rather die in glory than let them do something so savage to my own progeny.
Of course. Of course.
I think you speak for basically every self-respecting man, not even just white. I mean, I don't think, you know, black people may generally lack the aid. Black men particularly might generally lack the agency to plan something or whatever. But I mean, I think, you know, I would like to imagine that a self-respecting black man or any race, I mean, this is, I think, more fundamental than the racial issue, honestly. I mean, to me, this is like when you have demonic agents of literal Satan coming to mutilate your child, like that's beyond the beyond.
Well, to me, the point of what you said, Coach, about the way that this is, like, they come for your children, even just through entertainment, through all the pause media, through, you know, just every single aspect that can come at it. Somebody pointed out this week, and it's first I'd heard of it, but everybody knows, do y'all know who Edward Bernays is?
Yeah.
He's the father of, he's kind of like the father of public relations and propaganda. He was the first to bring, like, psychoanalysis to shape consumer culture to, you know, whereas, I guess, prior to it, the goyish way to advertise a product was, hey, we have great chocolate ice cream. We're cheaper than the guy next door. Buy our ice cream. He made it where it was like it became either an identification, an aspirational thing. It would play to your psychological insecurities or your psychological needs. And it's very much a dark art. And actually, I was giving a lecture on media and propaganda this week in psychology and said, these are effective tools. We ignore them at our peril. And, you know, some of us have to wade into the world of these dark arts and turn them for good. But it turns out that Edward Bernays' nephew is the CEO and founder of Netflix. What a shock. What a coincidence that this evil Jewish mastermind who brought us the horribleness of modern marketing and advertising, his nephew brings us Netflix, where you have cuties and you have Muppet babies with Gonzo going transgender and all of this stuff just constantly seeping into your children's minds. I mean, Coach, what do you do as a good father yourself and dealing with this right now? I mean, I at least have a grown child. What do you do to protect them?
Sure. Well, the biggest thing to me, and not everyone will agree with this and not everyone can do this, but, you know, given my circumstances and flexibility over the past 2 years, I chose to move to it was a triple combo, the most rural, the most white, and the most red area that I could, red politically, of course. And that was within my realm of options. And I personally strongly recommend that for all parents and people who are looking to find a place to have a little bit of sanity, a little bit of haven in this global madhouse. And you're going to benefit, you know, security, peace of mind. We all have, like, if you're living in an urban area or even like a shitlib suburban area, and you're glued to your phone all the time, you're going to start to go a little bit crazy. I mean, I'm a very grounded, like, I can handle the onslaught of information and stuff, but when you look too closely into the abyss, it starts staring back at you and you're like, what the hell is going on around here? So my mental health is, and peace of mind, and I think that just our general health with my family is a lot better since relocating. Now, I know you can't run away from this forever. You know, eventually they're probably like, okay, fine. Yeah, we could do the Kulak thing again and starve you out or just come around and start requisitioning or everything. But I do recommend that for all parents and people who are starting to get into parenthood, just being around your own people and having peace of mind. Two, of course, if you're paying for cable or satellite TV or whatever, just cancel it. Don't feed the beast. I am going to commit a hate crime against these African birds. I apologize, audience.
Didn't have time to get them in the poop yet. We love the local flavor.
All right, as long as it's not too bad. Yeah. Those are three guinea fowl. Hey. And speaking of which, we got these guinea fowl. Actually, they were foisted upon us because now we have the option to have these like birds roaming around and hopefully get some eggs out of them. But cutting the cord is essential, and I don't think that you can. You know, I know some guys who don't own a TV and their kids don't have tablets or cell phones. You know, what's the old religious adage? We have to be, in this world, but not of it, or vice versa. I can't remember. I don't agree with totally cutting your kids off. I agree with homeschooling, but it's not the end of the world if you send your kids to school. We are fairly candid in our house talking about these issues, sort of subtly trying to inoculate them, speaking of coronavirus, vaccinate them against pause in the society. And the obvious one, of course, is just absolutely bird dogging what's on TV. My daughter, you know, people who are familiar with me may know that I was a bit of a hip hop aficionado in my younger years. So I have some legacy Wu-Tang and stuff in my playlist. As soon as one of those things, and I've gone through and deleted almost all of it, I keep a few for sentimental reasons. As soon as one of those tracks comes on, if my iPhone is on shuffle, my daughter looks at me with the glowing eyes and is like, "Dad," I'm like, you're absolutely right. And I just turn it off. And I think we've been able to do that without going too hard or, creating creating some sort of phobia or that it's going to bounce back. Monkey see, monkey do. So yeah. It's up to the parents to be good exemplars. You know, to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But be strong. Be confident. Don't be over the top. Don't let that poison drip into your kids. You know, hey, my son has a tablet that grandparents got him. And if we don't police that, he's got his head in there all the time. So I'm just like, I'm sorry, Junior. I got to requisition that. Yep.
It really shouldn't be like this. I like to single out Netflix as particularly evil. And I didn't mention, by the way, that the founder is also a nephew of Sigmund Freud. So there's your trilogy or your trifecta, your intersection of disgusting, degenerate sexuality with psychological manipulation and going after children. I mean, it's all right there. And if you wondered why Netflix is what it is and why it does what it does, that's it. Yeah, you can't cut your kids off from the world completely, like you said. One thing I find heartening, though, is just as a kind of a mention with why you were a little bit late this morning, Coach, but I think we're starting to see this more and more. We're building such an alternative community where, you know, we can raise children, you know, amongst our own people, amongst wholesome, you know, amongst wholesomeness, I guess, is, you know, generally speaking. A few years ago when we were doing podcasts and whatnot, if we were late, if we decided to cancel at the last minute, it might be because we were hungover or we were doing something self-destructive or just this or that. Now I seem to have more scheduling problems with people going to real life events, going to family gatherings, doing stuff like what you were doing this morning, Coach.
Heck
and
yeah.
This is very heartening. I mean, we are truly building an alternative society through these organizations and things that we're doing, and that's why this is so important.
Exactly. Yeah. The sort of accountability that comes with this was, you know, white nationalism or the alt-right was a little bit of a new game, right? We were younger and not too wise at the time, maybe a little bit naive with some of those bad habits from the 20s and stuff. And then for a lot of us, and including the younger guys too, the seriousness of the task ahead of us looms large. You know, I like to tie one on here and again as much as the next guy, but when you're hungover the next day, you're not as good of a father. You're not as good of a productive, you know, member of the cause. And if you internalize all the things that we've been saying for years and recognize them, and of course they're only accelerating, then there are guys who don't drink because it's a waste of money and because it decreases their efficacy as a person, as a human, as a member of the cause. Now that's pretty hardcore. I respect the hell out of that. But to your point, 100%, it's not this. We're not fanning our balls or doing propaganda. The health, the fitness, the reading, the seriousness, the commitment is increasing. It's a glorious thing to see. And there's a little bit of peer pressure now, where you know, you go out and get blotto and make a little bit of a fool of yourself at one of these events, and you might not get invited to the next one.
Yeah,
think, you know, would Uncle get blotto at an event and jump in the pool at midnight? Hell no. Now that's not to say we can't.
We can't have fun.
Yeah. Well, of course not.
If you ask the uncle what can happen after one night at a beer hall, you get an entire other direction of
true rowdy
behavior.
That's right. And another thing that parenthood teaches you is all things in moderation, right? You don't want to be a softy, you don't want to be a hard ass all the time, and the same with this. Be a normal, healthy person and constantly be pushing yourself to be better. And you know, I'm not going to break out like my Full House violin here, but having kids, finding a good woman. She doesn't have to be perfect. She doesn't have to be based in red pilled or trad. Just find a good one who loves you and wants to have kids and take it from there, because you know that the enemy is either aborting or contraceptioning away their future with their aging eggs and soy boy nuts. And that is one of the hardest
things about the decline. If you look deep into the numbers of the declining percentage of white people in the West and America and all that, is that those with values closer to ours, you know, the conservatives who are like in that sphere, the social conservatives, we got to come up with a label for these people that aren't us, but they aren't terrible. They just don't know. I don't even like calling them conservatives anymore, but you know what I'm talking about. Sure. They're still having more children. You know, obviously the more religious people, the, you know, people who have stronger faith are having more, you know, families. It's the worst dysgenics that are dragging down our numbers. So it's actually a good thing, because it's like, you know, just sort of a natural weeding and eugenics going on.
Yeah, there's a chart out there that shows who are the most fecund subsectors of the American demographic. And at the very top are Sunni Muslims. And right below that are Mormons, who still, mm-hmm. of course, are largely white. And, of course, white nationalist was not a category in that, unsurprisingly. But I guarantee you, no BS, if you looked around our cause and if somehow you were able to get that metric, the baby boom is on, and it gives you something more to fight for, more skin in the game, and you are literally breeding the troops for tomorrow. And
I also want to say, I don't even think that it's necessarily just like white nationalists. I look around, I mean, granted, I mean, you know, I'm not going to dox myself or anything, and maybe this is just anecdotal, but anecdotally, I have seen, you know, and I guess you never know what people are thinking, but I just, like, looking around and in my, you know, normie, not our guy kind of friend circles, I've seen a lot of white babies being born. And I really honestly think there's something kind of in the drinking water, in the atmosphere. I don't know what it is exactly, but I think as a whole, racially, white people are having a kind of, you know, whether you're, I think we're a little more aware of it and maybe others are not, but I think, you know, there is something happening in the white racial consciousness, where people are understanding, like, a certain kind of white person who's receptive to that at really any level, who hasn't deliberately cut themselves off from it, is very much more likely to have children in the very recent past. I'm definitely noticing that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure exactly why that is. Just real quick, Spectre. The worst case scenario, subconsciously, you know, it's sort of like when a tree is dying, it really yields a bumper crop of acorns or nuts. You know, it's like this is it for me. Let's make this count. I hope it's not that for these people who don't fully recognize or understand the challenge, that they're not just like, well, let's pump them out. I don't think it's that too. I think it's like that. No, this is a conscious or subconscious revolt. Oh, we're only supposed to have one or two or none and go be cat ladies and bugmen. No, we're going to have a strong marriage and a big brood of kids, four or more, ideally. Well,
for starters, I want to thank you for using the word fecund. It's one of those words most people don't know, and it's one of those words that I hate, even though I like what it means, because it sounds dirty.
Well, that's because you pronounce it wrong, Spectre. It's fecund. Fecund. Not fecund. Okay. Fecund sounds like feces. Come on, man.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure it's pronounced fecund.
Okay, well, see, you have one. I learn something from you every time, Coach. My day is better every time I talk to you.
First time for everything, Spectre.
Oh, well, hi. No, there is that consciousness, that awakening is happening. You know, like, you saw it last week with the results of that survey that said, what, 25% of Republican men and upwards of like 15% of Democrat men have a favorable view of white nationalists. And this is despite a 5-year, you know, propaganda campaign that would embarrass the Soviets with how heavy-handed it's been. So, you know, it's pushing through, and there is a certain, I think there is a certain sense of that, like you mentioned with the tree. There's just like it's the reason that even after all these years of propaganda, a man sees two men kissing. It's the same reaction as seeing maggots eating spoiled meat. Or the negative reaction that everybody has, despite all the propaganda, to anytime you see a mixed race couple, it's that people are starting, in their core, their subconscious, they're feeling that threat. And I feel like, and so they're naturally just thinking there needs to be more of me instead of less. I don't know. That's a brilliant point you made.
It's hey, cool. Y'all pick quick, go ahead.
A little 5-minute pee break and resume in 5? Yes? No? Nobody
works
for me. Powering through?
Works for me.
Okay. Frank, you got something ready for us? Frank fell asleep.
You Frank's out around us. There he is. Twitter in the dead of the night. Tweet about miscegenation in support of white genocide. Something's different this time, something's not right. What are all these at replies? Your last name in parentheses, the echo Well, I guess that's why they say every rose has its ball. Just like every gold has its bone. Just like every silver has a bird or a stein. Every rose has its ball.
Birth data from 2019 came up. In 2019, there were 700.
I log into the Google store looking for it at all. The coincidence detector, oy vey, it's got 5 stars. Oh, I gotta shut it down. They're tracking us online. They put my name into the database. They know everything from an IP trace. I guess every rose has its ball. Just like every gold has its bone. Just like every silver has a bird. Or stein. Every rose has its thorn. It's been up for a while now. They got 8,000 names. Like another show unfolding. JavaScript, the Nazi JavaScript. Base Cuckington and Curtis Yarvin. And now that it's gone, how will we ever name you? Well, there's other ways to detect a Jew. Honestly, though, we're fucking screwed. We were poised to round up all you guys, but the Google Store stepped in just in time. I guess every rose. Just like every gold has its bone. Just like every silver has a bird or stein. Every rose has its bone.
Okay, somebody's echoing. All right, we are back with Coach Finstock, Nike, and DK. We are talking everything from fatherhood to coronavirus to, I don't know, maybe we'll talk about the Jews. Who knows? All right, guys, hit me with what you brought to the table this week.
Oh, shit, something I'm looking at just now. This is unbelievable. Apparently, in 2019... there was one black mother who gave birth to her eighth child, and the age of the eighth or more child, and the age of the mother was 17, according to this chart on, you know, child number and age of mother and race.
What were the ages again? You threw me. What?
She's 17 years old, and she's having her eighth or higher child.
Live birth, like not eight pregnancies and didn't necessarily finish.
Births.
Jeez. R selection versus K selection, I guess.
Kicking them out like Reese's monkeys. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if they're particularly fecund or fecund or fecund. We covered them all there. Yeah.
That's not going away anytime soon, is
it? I think that's just some hoe. Venture a guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ann Coulter had probably one of her worst columns in a decade or more the other day, where she was whining about conservatives and populists all of a sudden becoming pro-natalist, right? And she was banging the old drum about welfare and welfare queens, really going back to the 80s and Clinton and welfare reform. And it was so tone deaf. One, of course, it was a massive cell phone because, of course, she is childless and at least in the past has been a coal burner as well. But this idea that the government should not be encouraging something that is so natural to all human beings, you don't need a propaganda campaign to have children. It's like, well, and maybe you needed one.
Yeah, maybe get at the time here. Yeah.
Well, we have a propaganda campaign against having them.
Yeah, so for sure. Yeah.
We have an entire culture built around waiting, you know, pushing women to wait until their eggs are like nearly empty. Their egg carton is nearly empty and they're all spoiled before they even try.
Yeah. And parents in America right now who aren't particularly wealthy have now gotten their first, you know, it's sort of a trial balloon for universal basic income, but it's these advanced child tax credits. They bumped it up from $2,000 to $3,000, and parents are now getting a predictable check in the middle of the month between July and December, depending on how many kids you have, $250 per kid over six and $300 for every kid six and under or something like that. And, you know, I, of course, will never say thank you, Uncle Joe, you know, you wise one. But that is peace of mind. You know, we always say the government doesn't do anything for us, blah, blah, blah. But sorry, I'm not going to complain about that one, gents. And, you know, is this child tax credit going to lead to a ghetto baby boom and not incentivize white people? Maybe it'll do both, or maybe it'll lead to booms across the board. But just to see the government, like, actively giving a little bit of financial help on a consistent basis to parents, recognizing that they are in fact raising the next generation, to oppose that based on like your limited government conservative priors, to me is madness, because it's a help to us. Yeah.
And here's, this is really going to sound strange coming from one of us, but it's also the, for the normie conservatives, part of their objection to UBI or support for families and that sort of thing. It comes from a racist view of welfare and social support, because if they could live in a country where they saw, you know, their tax dollars going to help out their fellow kinsmen, you know, people that looked like them, that acted like them, who were responsible when they did receive help, as we saw with all through the COVID thing, when people were getting their unemployment and their STEMI, what did they do with the money? Well, you know what the blacks did. They went out and bought whatever. But white people were paying down debt. They were, you know, putting together extra family time. They were doing things that were productive, that no one would really have a problem if a small percentage of your paycheck goes to supporting a community like that. And going to Ann Coulter's point, this actually bothers me. She says this is something that comes natural to have kids and all that, but we do have a society built that is antinatalist. And going back to even the Neolithic days, if your tribe was creating a community for you in which, you know, you knew your children, you know, would have a better chance and would have support, then you were probably popping out more, because you were, you know, you were not some monkey having a litter. You know, you actually wanted each one of these children to survive and thrive. Yeah. And if you were in a tribe that didn't do that, I mean, all humans respond to incentives, whether they're fucking, pardon my language, whether they're cavemen or they are galaxy brained. Everybody responds to incentives. And to have the typical normie conservative be opposed to anything that would help white people, that would help white families, simply because they don't want their money going to, I'm censoring myself, you know what I'm saying.
You don't have to censor yourself for me, I don't know.
rather than going to pavement apes who are being irresponsible and having welfare babies.
I was going to say, Frank has a drop for that, what you're going to say.
It's like a crypto anti-black ghetto thing that effectively ends up screwing whites too. So it's like, oh geez, you just can't win with these people. Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say. There's an element of the conservative, obviously, like
so normie conservatives stop being conservative. So racist about welfare is what I'm saying.
Well, that the normie problem
conservatives
is, like,
don't be as racist as we are.
Yeah, but the problem is when you, but like as a numbers game, I'm not just saying that we shouldn't be, you know, pronatalist across the board or, I mean, you know, whatever, but as a function of numbers, like, because, you know, if there's any kind of means testing at all, I mean, this is now very wonky and maybe like outside the spirit, but whatever. If you means test family benefits, you're going to give hugely disproportionately those benefits to black people, and it's normal white people don't like that, and the policy consensus in the conservative world for decades now has been, you know, the way that you fight back against giving black people disproportionately huge, you know, family benefits, because they're the one, because they're going to be means tested, because they're going to be, and they're going to be claimed on that basis. Means testing meaning you have to make, you know, less than a certain amount per year in your tax returns, right, or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's going to be given mostly to black. So then, you know, one possible approach is you could just no longer means test. But, you know, then that becomes, quote, fiscally irresponsible, which is where the finance Jews find their way to split the kosher, you know, to do the Finkelthink dialectic.
If the threshold is low enough, then it's absolutely dysgenic and right. You know, whites as well as blacks. But this one in particular, the ceiling is high enough. I can't remember what it was, you know, $100,000 individual or $200,000 like married.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
That's a lot of upper middle class people. And I remember back in the Bush tax cut days, one of my wealthy family members had this kind of shit eating grin on his face. And he said, Coach, I really didn't need that second Bush tax cut. Like, it was just ludicrous, you know? So for a lot of those people who benefit, included from the Trump tax cuts, they're rolling in cash, right? I mean, look at the market, like their 401ks as of today, at least are just stratospheric. So I have no problem with God knows we have a new elite sort of magnate class who don't need any more help or subsidies. But, you know, in this case, I think it helps. And that peace of mind, as well as to Spector's point about the tribe having help. Now, it sort of contradicts my point, move to country, isolate self, be happy, because then you're going to be far away, likely from mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, etc. But yeah, you know, just having a few people in your same zip code, you can drop the kids off and babysit. I tell my kids this, not to throw my own parents or my wife's parents under the bus, but they're always very reluctant to take the kids for like more than a night or two. You know, they look like they're going to have an anxiety attack being responsible for three kids. And I just tell my kids, anytime you get married to a good person and you give me grandchildren or have beautiful children of your own, it's not about me, it's about them. I said, you drop them off, you guys can go take a trip, whatever, please. Like, the prospect, sort of rejecting the boomer ethos, the prospect of having a slew of grandkids under the roof where I can relive the glory days of being a father, like I could keel over in joy at that prospect, right? So another good little thing to remind your kids. But yeah.
You know, I just want to encourage my grandkids to do to my children what my children have done to me. So I'm looking forward to this maliciously, to be honest.
Well, you have 4 or 5 grandkids already, right, Spector?
Well, sure.
That you know of, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just, it does get frustrating because, like, also, like, speaking of, like, these things with boomers, and because of their hidden, their crypto-racist priors, they have problems with, you know, like, they see, like, the unemployment thing, the extra unemployment bucks from COVID, down in, like, Florida, Texas, all these red states where there's pressure to cut off this because they're like, oh, these people just don't want to go back to work, and I need to be able to get my Big Mac, you know, I don't have to wait for 5 minutes because there's not enough people behind the counter, and these people are just being greedy, and it's like, so why aren't these employers paying more than unemployment pays? Why don't they just, you know, oh, they can't afford that. Oh, really? McDonald's can't afford that. Okay. Well, Walmart can't afford to pay more.
Here's something I think that the audience should really take to heart, and I believe this down in my marrow as I say it, which is that, you know, even though we are living in decline, right now, these are real gravy train salad days for us. The dollar still has worth. Yeah, I know there's inflation. Mm-hmm. The job market is booming. The government is putting out cash left and right. Crypto has had a pullback. Mortgage rates are at record lows, right? You're getting almost no interest on your savings accounts. Now is the time to make hay. Make hay while the sun shines. Now, what does that mean for you? Does that mean dabbling in crypto? Does that mean buying a few acres out in the country? I don't know. Does that mean just going and getting off your ass and getting a job, or negotiating with your employer for a raise? Right now, we are in the driver's seat with a lot of money, with things not totally collapsing, and prepping to and getting your hands on material things, tools, skills, classes, etc., while this train is still lumbering down the tracks near the cliff. A lot of guys poo-poo prepping. You know, you don't want to run away into the country. I get it. Yeah, because the fight is political. But it's not always going to be this good, guys. Like this, the sun is still shining, and the government is still, at least in theory, a little bit of afraid of its own people. So now is the time to make those moves, to get your hand on some property, you know, make some capital investments. Debt is cheap right now. I know we hate debt. It plays right into the Jews' hands. But that would be, yeah, get your asses in gear, whatever it is, investing, buying skills, tools. Yeah.
Right. And there's a whole lot of bucks available for, education as well, like continuing education, trade education, whatever, if you're looking to do that.
Because they really
want people back in the schools and colleges.
Yeah, I don't know what the status is of the first tranche of the infrastructure bill, which is literally like trains, planes, and automobiles and high-speed internet. But if they get that through, then there's a decent chance that they're going to go for the second sort of social capital thing that for most of us 5-10 years ago, we would have said, oh, no, it's big government welfare. But you're looking at possibly free universal community college to go get your CDL or, you know, have pre-K childcare. And of course we don't want to be putting our kids in terrible daycare, but yeah.
I'll be honest. Once I get done with a little free time this fall, I'm actually taking two courses. I already have my bachelor's. This is just for fun. One, I'm taking like German 101 just cause I want to learn it. And then there's a class on history of, the 20th century, the rise, World War I, World War II, and the rise of fascism. And I'm strictly going to troll.
This is going to be like Rodney Dangerfield and Back to School, right?
Yes. Also, I might be thinking, it's time to create a study group. You look like a good candidate. You look like a good candidate. Let's talk about these fascist ideas in private.
Yeah, and start.
I'm going to be groomsting. I will be groomsting college boys. That sounds awful. That came out wrong. I will be grooming them towards fascism.
and start small too, right? Like whenever I can recognize it, like the hands on the clock now, when I start to get a little bit down or get the blues about our prospects or the state of the world. And now I'm like, oh, you know what will make me feel better? Going and doing some Arbeit macht frei, and it'll make your head feel better too. Whatever it is, cut the grass. Going chasing the birds around, playing with the kids. Yeah, exactly. It feels good. It clears your mind, and it's damn needed too. Sitting around all day on your phone, on Telegram, on Twitter, whatever, is bad for your mental health and it's bad for your soul. You do need to know what's going on out there.
Chopping firewood will not only give you that release that you're looking for, it's also good practice for the future when you think about it.
Being
able to bring an axe down, well aimed and with powerful force. I'm saying it's a useful skill for the future. Is all I'm saying.
For your guinea fowls, yes. For your guinea fowls.
Well, that's for guinea fowls, exactly.
Or foul guineas.
Foul guineas. Oh,
yeah. That's what we CFO'd. Yeah, and start small too, right? I was like, oh, I'm not ready for chickens. Those are real birds. So I started with the African variety. You know, they it's funny, these I keep beating on these damn birds, but they're truly African in their nature. They're not good mothers. Like they abandon their chicks like very early compared to chickens. They don't make a set nesting place.
They're African.
They lay eggs all over the place. They're loud as hell. They're ugly as hell. But these have I'm sort of a father to these guys. They ride on my back and they follow me around, and then they hear me in here podcasting, and they're like, I got to be close to that guy. So real, recognize real.
Nice.
But to the point, start small. Yeah.
Your guys are actually pretty clean otherwise. I know what you're saying there, but as somebody who's raised some ducks now, those are the actual Africans of the fowl world. Because all they do is eat
bad things,
shit so. And rape. And they'll eat everything. Like, chickens, you can put out food and it'll last days. They eat till they're full and then they're done. Ducks will eat everything put in front of them, and then they will walk around shitting, and then they will rape each other constantly. And then they just drop it. They don't even really bed their eggs. They just drop their eggs as they're walking. It's just like black people. It's duck, amazing.
Oh, duck nationalism. This is the ethos we must adopt. Duck nationalism.
I've actually come to appreciate how clean chickens are. So just compared to ducks, chickens are so much better.
Yeah, that's our next step, right? We're starting with the easy ones that don't need no care too much, and then we'll move on from there. And that's what it's all about, is progression, adding value, adding wealth, adding skills, adding talents or whatever. And, you know, even if it's not going to change the dynamic of Globo Homo, it's worth doing anyway, and the kids love chasing them around. Spectre, have you gotten your third jab yet, or are you still on number one? God. Pfizer, Moderna. No, I don't mean to derail with
COVID. No. I was talking to my girlfriend the other day about this, because she was a kind of a COVID freak during the worst of it, and she's still on the fence about getting the shot. And I was like, I'm never going to get it. And she's like, well, you're just going to be anti-science. I was like, I literally never had the flu, and I've never had a flu shot. I didn't get COVID. I was around.
She called you anti-science.
Okay.
The reason this all must be is because I'm the embodiment of evil.
You're dating a libtard.
Yes, I am. I think we've talked about this at length, as far as just, I mean, there's the simple answer. It's like, the people who want me to get it, I hate. So fuck them. That's why I'm not going to get it. So, and pardon my language, but I'm very, just simple and straightforward about it. But without even going into Johnny Monoxide territory, simply knowing that the people who are the biggest proponents of this are also the ones who want to reduce the world population to 500 million, which in and of itself as a goal, I have no problem with if it's done right, and the right 500 million. But they want, infinity aid to Africa and to bring them throughout the world. So I don't really think that their plan to reduce our world population is in my best interest. And so, all the weird things, it's just not going to happen. I don't even want to talk. I feel like the tranny where he's like, there's no point in arguing about this. We're not going to argue with the people. Just get out.
Well,
I know that you want to talk about it, Coach.
Coach, what did you...
Oh, please, go ahead, DK, and then I'll
I was just... That. Yeah, sorry. This has been on my mind, and I think, generally speaking, I definitely agree with Mike's perspective that the coronavirus stuff is, tailor-made to distract from... pressing racial issues and in particular black crime, but really all kinds of things. However, I think we also need to take a step back and sort of understand, I've been thinking about this a lot, especially with some of the more recent developments. It's very clear to me, people, there may be a sterilization agenda on the menu. I definitely am inclined to believe quasi data-driven reports of fertility issues. It seems that the mRNA vaccines accumulate viral matter and antibodies in the ovaries, in particular for women who receive these injections,
oppose the placenta.
Exactly. So I have a hard. I don't think that's particularly why they. I think this is all planning and preparation. I think my read on this at this point is this is a compliance exercise. They had that, Century 21, or I forget what it was called, but basically a drill a few months before this happened where they were like, okay, if there were some kind of global deadly pandemic, how would we coordinate responses? How would we shut people down if we want to shut down? And, Event 201, thank you, yeah. I'm not I'm not going to say that I think that it was all planned in advance. I actually do. Personally, I think that it was, you know, it was gain of function research gone wrong. They had SARS-1. They wanted to see, okay, well, if SARS-1 became more infectious, how would we fight it off? But they did it in a really stupid and counterproductive way, and they created SARS-2 in Wuhan, and it escaped the lab. I don't think they planned it. I don't think they wanted it. However, Moderna, I was just looking into this. I didn't realize this. Moderna, the company, is only 10 years old. Their stock ticker is mRNA. The only thing they do is mRNA immune. I wouldn't call it vaccines because they're not vaccines in the classical definition of what a vaccine is. They're, you know, essentially experimental gene therapy treatments that are, you know, creating an immune response by non-traditional means, injecting you with mRNA. COVID vaccine, whatever, COVID injection is their only product that they have on the market so far. They have other stuff planned for AIDS and the flu and various other things. It's based in Cambridge. It glows, it's bioluminescent like you wouldn't believe. And they claim their version of events, their story, Moderna's story, is that they developed their injection, their treatment, in two days, which to me tells me one of two things. Right. That's their story. I could send you a link, but
how have I not heard that?
Right, because no one's popularizing it. So here's my thing, is that means one of two things is true. Either they had basically, like, already in advance, they were working with the Wuhan lab, and they, like, knew this was some kind of a possibility, or they had some kind of advanced knowledge, right? Or they were involved in the research, or people who were in one lab were also involved in Moderna. I mean, you know how these kind of circles are in these kinds of places. It's a revolving door of people. So there was some kind of advanced knowledge, some kind of advanced planning, and they had it basically ready to go on day one. Or, they had the basics in place already because they've been doing this kind of the big problem with mRNA-based immune treatments is safety, has always been safety. For 10 years that they've been working on this problem and trying to approach it in this way, the problem basically it makes people sick and it kills people. And they slap something together in 2 days that makes people sick and kills people, but they're, you know, up against this problem of like, well, it's the only thing that, or one of the only things, one of the few things that that actually works. And more to that point, it's the direction that Zog wants to go. Zog, for whatever reason, has decided that, you know, we're not going to do the traditional vaccine thing anymore. We're going to inject everyone with mRNA. More to the point, we're going to habituate everyone to getting mRNA injections. We are going to get people used to the idea of complying with the mandate that that they are going to receive not a traditional vaccine, but an mRNA gene therapy treatment. Which is why I've been watching the Johnson & Johnson situation very, very carefully, because, like, if you notice, there's a big split in the world, essentially, like, outside of Zog's immediate control, which is to say the United States, Canada, and Western Europe, and then some parts of South America. Most people who have been injected with the vaccine have been injected with a traditional, more or less traditional vaccine, which is the Chinese Sinovac vaccine. That's like kind of like as I understand it, structurally similar to the AstraZeneca Israeli developed vaccine and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They're all basically using more or less traditional methods. But these are all very heavily downplayed in the Anglophone and in Zog's control, you know, using the English language media, where, like, you know, the emphasis is on Pfizer, and to the extent that, like, now it's coming out, it actually came out last week, that, you know, Pfizer commissioned a study that basically says that Pfizer's own study says that all-cause mortality is basically equal, that like in the control group, in the experimental group, the placebo group, in the vaccine group, there were 15 deaths in one and 14 in the other, of which I think they had like 2 COVID deaths in one and 1 COVID death in the other. Basically, like, it doesn't. When you factor in the adverse reactions, and not only that, but the experimental gene therapeutic intervention decreases in effectiveness by, they claim, I believe it's a lot more than this, but this is their number, is 6% ish every 2 months. Meaning that, like, first Pfizer came out a couple weeks ago and said, oh, we should really strongly consider third booster shots. Immediately the response from the CDC and Fauci was like, oh no, you know, there's no need for that. They reversed course, you know, maybe 2 weeks ago saying, yeah, we should consider it. And now there's articles as of just a few days ago, and I've been paying attention to this in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, basically saying like now the third shot, not only is the third shot of Pfizer on a fast track for FDA approval, but the Moderna also came out and said, yeah, our shot also loses effectiveness after about 6 months. And they're applying for approval for a third booster as well.
Can you imagine being one of those retards who got the tattoo of their Band-Aid or their shot just to show? I mean, Jesus Christ.
Please.
I was going to say, DK, like, I've grown sort of, it's not a good thing. I've grown a little bit incurious over the years. You know, once you get the JQ, you've sort of got the skeleton key to like decode everything that's going on in the world. Yeah. So, I'm listening to everything that you're saying. I'm like, oh, maybe true. Yeah, probably bad. But it's like not anti-vax. Just don't want it. There's so much. Not racist. Just don't like them. There's so much information out there. A lot of it hokey and conspiracy theory stuff. I'm sure a lot of the conspiracy theory stuff is valid. But I personally.
Well, I think some of it's even like to discredit the conspiracy theories. There's some fake conspiracy theories just to undermine people who are questioning it.
Exactly. Q style, right? Just like scramble people's brains, get them all worked up in a lather and make them sound crazy. And I'm not saying DK certainly did not say sound crazy. And where there's smoke, there's fire, right? This thing stinks to high heaven. It reminds me exactly of the march to war with Iraq when you were like, something ain't right here. This doesn't seem right. But once that drum starts drumming, get vaxxed, weapons of mass destruction, the vast majority of people fall into line and do it. Now, in this case, you know, I feel like the bare minimum, you know, you want to call yourself a badass and a dissident, like, don't let them stick some unapproved, rushed, big pharma mystery sauce into your veins. That alone is a no-brainer, not to mention the fact of how survivable it is. If you're old, infirm, obese, and have breathing issues, isolate yourself, nigga, right? Like, you know, don't make the whole society come and shut down just for you. And of course, the hypocrisy that they've been normalizing HIV and AIDS, allowing gay men to donate blood into the nation's bloodstream, and they're normalizing pedophilia, and yet they're whipping you up into a righteous lather about this, all things considered, not particularly fatal. I mean, what the hell are they going to do when there's a real one that breaks out, right? I mean, my kids aren't getting it. I had COVID and beat it off. I keep saying I beat off COVID, which is really a terrible choice of words. That's what she said. But you just take care of yourself. Now, I know a guy who's really fit. He's a father. He's in his 30s, and he's laid up pretty bad. I don't know if he has Delta, Sigma, Ligma, Sugma, but, you know, we shouldn't, you know, it's clearly not a fake thing. It's real. People do get sick from it. The origins of it. Was it the Chinese? Was it the Ron Unz thinks it was an American bioweapon that they released in China and Iran first, because those are the two countries that had it worse? Like, okay, interesting. But, you know, it is like it's a perpetrated psychosis that they've put on us. And these, you know, I got upbraided by a cat lady in a mask just the other day. I'm like, I just looked at her like, are you insane? Are you crazy? So I think, you know, there's the two front thing. Whatever nasty juice they're ginning up in the pharmaceutical angle of this, as well as the societal. I saw one commenter say, you know, never let a crisis go to waste. Absolutely. Yeah. They're making this shit up as they go along. And yeah, you're looking at, if you get vaxxed, if you get vaxxed, you're looking at possibly a lifetime of boosters. If you defeat the virus yourself, I'm pretty sure that that's better than getting some artificial stuff to keep you healthy. And you very well may spread it more easily if you're vaxxed and your symptoms are suppressed and your body's like, we've got it covered. So, man, it's a hard no for me, and I don't even need to delve into the Jews necessarily.
Let me throw this out there. This is something Mike has mentioned, and like polio, I'm not anti-vax in that sense, like the polio vaccine, but just look at the cultural differences between when they rolled out the polio vaccination and now. And you know, you had a society that was actually, at least on the surface, and you know, the rot was starting, and the subversion was involved in the 40s and the 30s. But in general, you had a society that actually did care about you. I live in a society today where, even if I wasn't an outspoken white nationalist, just being a white man with traditional values, I'm considered the enemy. White nationalists are considered this, you know, the big white people advocating their own interests is considered the biggest threat to this democracy. So if I'm viewed this way by my government, if I'm viewed this way by the establishment, why do you think that I'm going to believe you when you tell me you have my best interest at heart when you're trying to give me the shot? It's not going to happen. And then beyond that, to keep it even simpler, Nikkei hasn't actually said this, but I think I know Nikkei well enough to know that he would say, God gave me my immune system. It can't be improved with your bullshit. Am I right, Nikkei?
I mean, I got shots as a baby, and I didn't get, like, rubella or some awful thing.
Yeah.
It did turn me autistic, yeah. So, you know, trade-offs. But, you know...
gave you your superpower.
Got that tism.
Yeah, it also made me based. So, is it really something you want to avoid as a symptom in your children? That's up for you to decide. I won't tell you to make your children based. If you want them to be cringe, that's all on you.
Hmm. What were you going to say, Dickie?
A vaccine against cringe. I would pay good money for a vaccine against cringe.
Cannot the be cured. No. Cringe for days.
No, the vaccine against cringe is the shot. And if you don't get the shot, then you're not going to make it gay.
a good buddy. Just real quick on the societal impact of this. You know, I'm enough of a misanthrope where I'm like, yeah, shut it all down, whatever. You know, tank this economy with no survivors. Oh, like I'm perfectly happy here, right? But
I'm ready for shutdown number two. I don't care. I mean,
think of the grandchildren, Spectre. I mean, this is really. On top of all the other stuff that our kids have to deal with out there in the culture, I mean, canceled sports and having to live behind masks in school.
I'm not thrilled about that. I am thrilled about people not having to go to their office jobs, spending time at home with their families, women realizing that they're having more fun raising their children and being at home and being a homemaker than this bullshit job that they hate. Those are the positive effects. And also, like you said, I would love to see the economy crash and burn. There's nothing I'd like to see than that.
Yeah, true to my coach form, I just want soccer and baseball to go forward. You know, can't cancel the sports. But no, I mean, this stuff has
real... I missed baseball last year terribly, so I know what you're saying. But DK, I'm sorry, you're gonna jump in there.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, I think what triggered me was... And I totally agree with your point, Coach. And I think, you know, the more that we train ourselves to default with, yeah, no, I just don't like that, or the fact that you want me to do this means that I'm not going to do it and I don't really need to explain any further. Like, you know, for me, being kind of hyper intellectual, that hasn't come naturally. And I've had to train myself to react that way with good results. But, you know, and I think, you know, a lot of our guys, you know, we need to learn to become comfortable just saying no. You know, Sven emphasizes that all the time. It's a really great point. Just learn to say no to Jews, to Zog, right? That's a very good point. But I also want to say, I mean, you know, to me, or to the extent that I'm going to indulge that kind of intellectual approach, like, my thing has always been the truth. I am here on this call with you fine gentlemen because, you know, my search for the truth led me here, right? It's like I never shut my eyes against reality, which is why these claims, I mean, I understand why Spectre, your girlfriend, would say that, but... the idea that there's anything scientific about the mandates coming out of the CDC or the WHO or the FDA or any of this stuff, it's just laughable. I mean, if you have any actual scientific training, and anyone who has I don't even think you necessarily need calculus driven statistics university courses would help, but like. If you're a smart person, if you're a moderately educated person, you can read these press releases, you can read the studies, you can look at the articles, and you can see very obviously. I mean, the fundamental problem they're having, and it's not at all a problem that exclusive that they're having like with our guys. It's a lot of smart, not even necessarily conservatives. Some of them are Jews. I mean, you could say like there's a Finkel thing aspect to it too. But like Brett Weinstein, I really don't like him. It's not that I think he's a good guy or has any kind of good interest in mind. But he's had trouble too because he had Robert Malone, the one of the inventors of mRNA technology on discussing in a neutral, dispassionate, scientific way all of the problems. And a lot of these things were already well known. So, I mean, the fundamental issue here is, like, what is the truth? What is the reality? What is, you know, are you asking the questions about things like asymptomatic spread? You know, early on, the lockdowns were justified because there were fears of asymptomatic spread. It turns out, basically, there is no asymptomatic spread of COVID. If you're spreading it, it's because you have some kind of symptoms. They may be mild, but you basically have to be exhibiting some kind of symptoms in order to be spreading it. What that means is that lockdowns are, from a policy perspective, completely useless. Masks, same thing. A filthy cotton unsanitary rag on your face does not in any way protect you or anyone else from the transmission of this
that
disease,
said
period.
That said, 2 weeks before the mask mandates were ended, and I never actually really wore one, but 2 weeks before nobody had to wear them anymore, I finally got mailed back to me my Uncle Mustache mask. Had his nose, mouth, and mustache.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I actually am looking forward to maybe a new mask mandate just so I can wear that. But I'm really worried that boomers will look at it and go, yeah, he's protesting the mask mandate saying it's Hitler.
If they make another one, I'll get a Boycott Israel mask. Yeah, I mean, same kind of energy,
right? It's got to be more explicit,
right?
Like Boycott Israel or the Holocaust is fake.
It was so exhilarating shopping at the grocery store with a skull mask on. You know, I mean, like, pray that. Yeah, finally. Yeah, my dreams come true. Now, it's surprising that there hasn't been one – sort of interesting thing is for a time I thought that this mask stuff was going to lead to it. Of course, it has led to a massive uptick in crime, whether that's mask related or just the ferals are totally getting out from under the thumb of the system. But the liberation of just going out in a mask and being somewhat anonymous was kind of nice for a while. Everybody's masked up, and I thought that mm-hmm. was kind of creepy. Plus one on DK going into the facts and the truth. And this is the sort of platform among our people where, we can let that stuff rip. And at the same time, there's podcasting and there's the propaganda and the channels. And then there's your real life interactions with normal people who may be on the fence or maybe all scrambled upside the head. I'm scrambled about what to think about it sometimes. And it reminds me of the old adage. And I saw a couple of the commenters got this too. Like if you're explaining, you're losing, like just being confident mm-hmm. looking somebody in the eye and saying, no, I'm not taking it, I don't trust them, is probably going to be more powerful than trying to theorize or explain the many, many like things that stink to high heaven about this whole charade.
Sure. Well, if there's anything for us to look forward to in the next couple of weeks, is the centers of hysteria for this, where they have the most power, are, you know, New York, DC, all the major, you know, the Sodoms and the Gomorrahs of America, right? They'll be able to reinstitute their mask mandate even for vaccinated people. And this is where it's going to get funny, because something like less than 1 in 3 blacks in New York are vaccinated. And even among those that are vaccinated, if they're told either – in New York it's going to be you have to wear a mask if you're vaccinated, and you cannot come into a restaurant or a place of public accommodation if you are not vaccinated. Guess what's going to happen to the people telling these unvaccinated blacks that they can't come in? There are going to be chimp outs all across New York, all across San Francisco. The Boston
mayor.
They're
just going to not enforce.
No, the Boston mayor is a black woman, and she is actually not going to enforce anything like this because she knows that's what's going to happen.
Right. That's going to be the case across the country. They're just not. I mean, they already don't enforce like murder laws against blacks. Like, they're not going to enforce these laws. They're just going to you're just going to like not enforce the law against blacks. Like, as they
normally
do. I don't
know. I mean, it's the hysteria over these people. I mean, I can easily see, you know, like the shitlibs in the restaurant sitting there saying, "You're letting an unvaccinated person in here," and causing a big stink. And then,
but how are they going to know? You know, I mean,
I don't know. I'm just saying, it's going to be – we have the potential for some great theater going forward.
I forgot my card. Right. Don't be racist, Karen. Yeah, and then she'll back
exactly.
down.
Yeah. Exactly. There's a segment of the white libtard cat lady population that is going to lose complete – I mean, they're already basically this whole thing has broken their minds to the extent they weren't already severely mentally ill. Like, they're now kind of actively schizophrenic. And this is just going to push them over the edge to see, like, you know, and the cognitive dissonance, of course, as well, where it's like, you know, they're going to see to some extent, you know, or share stories on Facebook of blacks just basically not just getting away with not complying. And that's going to make them insane and completely enraged. But they're already kind of powerless. They're basically just simps for the regime as it exists anyway. You know, women and spiritual women.
Camp followers of the regime.
Exactly. So they don't. It's not like they really have any power anyway. The people with power are just going to not enforce the law against blacks the way they already don't enforce the law against blacks.
I didn't think that through. I'm still hoping for, you know, more shenanigans.
It would be great. That's my cloud on the line, I guess.
It's never a bad time for monkey shines as long as somebody's videoing it at a distance from me.
not in your subdivision. Yeah, exactly. I actually think they're going to be able to bribe and incentivize blacks. I saw Jack, our producer, sent me a chart that showed that Asians were less vaccinated than blacks. It was like 6% for Asians, 8% for blacks, a little more for Hispanics, and then whites, of course, were the most compliant. But I suspect that they will be able to, through more Chameleon videos and sweepstakes and, you know, like pay off your car loan things. Where I live, there's been a couple million dollars. Yeah, sure. Air Jordans with every vax. Yeah, I think that they can get that population to comply aside from their own, you know, lack of agency and laziness and not leaving their own. Yeah, talk about not leaving the house, not leaving the porch. But time will tell. I couldn't believe that Asians, if that stat was true, that Asians were the least vaccinated, because we always hear that they're the ant people who comply. What
I saw that they were the most vaccinated. It was basically the IQ distribution of like Asians, whites, Hispanics, blacks in that order. But that could be old data, or I mean, again,
that makes more sense.
It makes sense because precisely for the compliance, and they sort of also a little they're going to be less woke on the like trusting Zog question. Yeah, I mean, I've honestly reached the point now where it's like, you know, I guess you're fully red-pilled and there's always more, you know, shades of red to go or something. We're in the infrared now. But I had already, you know, I entered this sort of like, you know, I was one of the guys on 4chan poll being like looking at these videos ostensibly coming out of China, freaking the fuck out, going to, you know, the grocery store wearing like, you know, P100 3M mask and you know, safety goggles and gloves because I was like, I'm not getting this, and all of that, and then very quickly it seemed like, okay, well, actually it's nowhere near, thank God, it's nowhere near this dangerous. And then of course a lot of other things happened, but I went from basically broadly willing to believe. I remember because when the first infection fatality rate numbers were coming out, I basically accepted them at face value. And into last year, I was accepting, you know, official numbers at more or less face value. Then the first, you know, kind of things came out about like, well, maybe they're inflating the COVID death numbers in this way and that way. And, you know, if you have a heart attack, but you test positive, you quote unquote died of COVID and this kind of stuff. Now I'm at the point where like, my question is like, okay, do you, the CDC, actually believe these numbers, or I'm assuming they're wrong. The question is, are they wrong because you actively lying to me and are attempting to deceive me, or are you just huffing your own bullshit and you don't even know that you're wrong? Like, that's sort of where I am with it personally.
Yeah. And a real quick fact check, somebody was questioning about, because it seemed like just counterintuitive, Asians wouldn't be as vaccinated as that. But fact check true. As of August 2nd, 2021, CDC reported that race ethnicity was known for 58% of those who had received at least one dose of the vaccine. Among this group, nearly two-thirds were white, 59%, 10% were black, 16% Hispanic, and 6% Asian.
Amazing.
So that,
Mr. Producer, but
I'd have to pull it up on air. Maybe I will, and I know we're running a little short on time, but I'll hop off. But I remember distinctly, because Steve Saylor like linked to it, basically it was the IQ graph of like Asians are the most vaccinated, followed by whites, then Hispanics, then blacks. So obviously there's, you know, there's a disconnect there, and somebody's lying, right? Like, what a surprise.
Somebody's doing the lying, but we do know for sure whites are lining up like good cattle to get jabbed, unfortunately. Yep.
I just look at all these people and I just say, I know you're a liar, so I don't believe you. You're wasting my time. Goodbye. I feel like that's the best attitude to have about this.
Yeah, and in increasingly non-white America, you have an increasingly less trustworthy medical system. Shock, surprise. And, you know, you can maybe get away with just going to see a non-white general, you know, a internist to do your physical. But when it comes to being really sick or making these, you know, really for the length of your life, you're going to have that stuff circulating in your blood. You're really trusting the 2 out of 3 Jews. You saw that dystopian video where Zients and Walensky and Fauci were on video where he's basically threatening that, yes, the time for asking is over. We are now going to be telling you to get the jab. Man. Yeah. Then, you know, trial run for more things to come.
All right, well, we're about to getting close to the hour, so we're going to start wrapping up. Coach, thank you so much for being our guest, but is there anything else you wanted to address while you're here? We have a few more minutes. I just wanted to make sure that you got some last words in on anything else or this topic or anything else, because it's been great having you, and we want to do this more often.
Hey, Spectre, my pleasure. Thank you so much. Better late than never, as they say. Honored to be on. Love the show. I'll just do a quick plug for our show, Full House, full-house.com. It is for white fathers, aspiring ones, and everybody. We got mothers, grandmothers, single ladies, etc. And we try to make it as much entertainment as it is information, and also, most importantly, to keep the spirits of the troops. Are if you're out there and listening to this, you are the resistance, and we need more of you. We need to demand more of you, and we need more numbers too. So please do not give in to despair. If you're single and feeling bad about your prospects, that can change at the turn of a dime. And never give up, and I will not. And if you give up, I'm going to be extraordinarily disappointed with you. And I've got friends who are rougher and will do worse things than just be disappointed like a disappointed dad. So love you. Nice. Guys, keep at it.
Yes, sir. All right, Borzoi's not here this week. He should be returning next week, but listen to his hyper podcastism with Marty, of course. And he's got some other things going. I'm sorry.
Only if you've read and purchased the book.
Well, they're not listening to the show if they haven't read the book and watched the show, right? You're not allowed to listen to Third Rail unless you're a Marty fan. Period.
New rules.
Them's the rules. So he'll be back. DK, what do you got going on, sir?
Yeah, we also have a companion piece to that episode of Hyperpodcast.
Yeah, I wanted you to mention that. Yeah.
Culture Terror. Definitely check. I think those are both very nice discussions. And go well together. But yeah, definitely, read the book first if you know, and it's a great book and so on. We also I mentioned last time we our episode with Mr. James Alsop on Skyrim. That's going to be pushed back because there's some developments, hilarious stuff happening in Activision Blizzard world. So we have a new episode of the National Institute for Gamer Review GamerCore coming out today, as soon as I can upload it, and then our discussion with James on Skyrim will be next week, probably on Friday.
I'm jonesing for that one, to be honest.
Yeah,
Nikkei.
Me too.
Nikkei, what do you got going on, sir? Mr. Young White.
Yes, the Young White's new episode out pretty soon. Always check for us on therightstuff.biz. That's where you'll find us. You can follow me on Pleroma at Nikkei at pleroma.nobodyhasthe.biz.
All right. Let me see if there's any last minute bookkeeping to go over here. Listen to Full House, of course. We'll have the link to Full House in the chat. Great show. You don't even have to be a dad to listen, and it's just wholesome. It makes you feel good. It's comfy. It's comfy. Let's see now.
Yeah, I can't get into the YouTube comments. Sorry, Spectre. I wanted to say thanks to everybody in there and answer some questions, but I remembered that Full House was showed from YouTube despite our best efforts. No profanity, no copyrighted music, etc., and they still nuked us. So thank you. I was able to see the chat, but not respond in there. Honored to be here. Yep.
Yeah, everybody's thank all. I think we have more than 300 coming out on a Saturday morning. We really appreciate that. Let's see now. Go to national-justice.com for the best daily journalism, almost, from Eric Stryker. He is rattling cages. He is a machine. Go to dissident-mag.com for some long-form journalism from the guys who bring you Fascist Nation. Go to nationaljusticeparty.com. They'll tell you everything you need to think, and you'll know where to send your money. I'm kidding, of course. Go to antelopehillpublishing.com. The best books, they are creating an entire ecosystem of literature, of research, of found books, hard to find books, translated books. It's amazing. This is somebody's first show. Go buy Cultured Grugs by Borzoi, and go buy Let Them Look West from Marty Phillips over at antelopehillpublishing.com. And join us at the TRS Radio Network behind the paywall for premium content. It's therightstuff.biz/paywall. And I guess that's it for this week. Mr. Producer, I wrote nothing for an outro, so play some music. Mr. Producer, see ya, Kyle. Hell, did I screwed up my own line. 209 times. 209 episodes, and I screwed up my own outro line. What? Dementia is a hard mistress, let me tell you. Yeah. Mr. Producer, hail victory. See ya, Kyle. Frank, are we out? Frank? Frank, were you doing some day drinking?
Oh, no.
Is Frank not even there anymore? I don't see him.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I assume that it's going to be recorded on his end.
He has to be AFK.
He is AFK?
Well,
no, I don't see him in the
chat. If he was out of the call, then we wouldn't be seeing the video feed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who knows? Are we still over the air? Yeah. All right.
Oh yeah. We definitely go ahead and
the URL. I'm assuming this is going to get recorded.
He
shut down the channel. Oh dear God! This is not going to be
Frank,
pretty.
Frank, where is Frank?
Can we assume that we're not going to lose the recording here? Anybody who knows the technical side of this?
No.
Look at me.
Yeah. Oh dear God! Well, it was a great live show. We got up for 300 people. Awesome.
Frank the Tank. Frank. Ran out of gas.
I think he may have had to work last night. He may have had just a little bit to kind of take the edge off and.
Oh boy.
Dozed.
You were just talking about how good boys we are now, and we're bright and shiny, bushy tailed, and on Saturday mornings, and Frank. Contradicted you. See, producers are bad news, right? Yeah, keep them off mic and on a tight leash. They always screw.
Well, I guess
their so. I guess
we didn't really finish the our discussion there of Hezbollah. I wanted to see if
bonus content.
Yeah. Okay. I actually y'all want to keep this as bonus content? You can. I do have to
take a nap.
Duck out though. Yeah. No, I got to get out. I got some things to do. But awesome. if you want to keep going, and then maybe Frank will rejoin.
Yeah, I will. I'll stick around until Frank shuts us down.
Bonus content for the live audience.
All right, they deserve it. Let me go get a sparkling water, gentlemen. I'll be right back.
Yeah, and Coach, I'm going to take off. So I just want to say again, thank you publicly, but also let's talk offline this afternoon if you want to. Just catch up and whatever.
Absolutely, you're the man, Spectre. Thanks so much.
All right, brother. I'll talk to y'all later.
Coach always has his own live audience there with the
my the babies. I'm gonna mute.
I put the Full House link in the chat for those of you who are there. Thanks, Coach, buddy. Mentioned that you said your channel. Your channel was banned like just now or
when? No, on YouTube. We got showed
on YouTube.
We got Zencast nuked us. Then obviously Twitter a long time ago. Then YouTube BitChute stopped processing our videos, which is, I mean, to be honest, I was like, take it as a feather in our cap because we really bend over backward to try to keep it as clean as possible. So over target flack and all that.
Yeah, it's not what it's about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you on Odyssey or where else are you?
Nope, not yet. We're on Telegram at ProWhiteFam, and you can subscribe to the show using the RSS link at full-house.com, which is the real reason I'm on the show, not to hang out with you fine fellows, but just to plug my wares like a traveling salesman. No, this is great. I am going to go get a water because I'm parched for my 5K, and I was listening intently to Nikkei. I didn't mean to derail about the Israel Hezbollah stuff. I would love to put my feet up on the table and get smart there.
Yeah. When you're back, I'll start. So
go for it. It'll take 2 seconds.
Well, in the meantime here, I'm just going to note some other interesting things I found on this chart I mentioned earlier about birth statistics. I see the youngest white mother having their eighth or beyond child. There are two women in 2019 who were 19 years old having their eighth or subsequent child that were white. I mean, that's still like, I goes without saying, very young to have all damn kids. I have to imagine a lot of them, or like two or three, might have been twins or triplets, you know, because having eight kids one after another by 19, that's
somebody was starting early. Somebody was dipping into the the sauce prematurely. That's pretty creepy. Yeah, it's funny with I only have one daughter, and she's going to be an outstanding mother, and I'm not just saying that because she's a girl, but she really like loves to help in the kitchen, and she's great with her younger brother. And we talk, I'm like, oh, you're going to be such a good mom, just to encourage her, give her some positive reinforcement. And we talk about, you know, how many kids do you think you want to have? Not over the top. I don't want to make it a big thing. And she's like, well, I think three is good, because she's one of three. But I think four would be better. I said, oh, yeah, four would definitely be better. And again, with the encouragement. And the other day, my heart almost melted. She said, you know, I certainly am going to get married one day, Dad, but I would like to still live close to you. And, oh, man, I almost died right there. You know, I was like, yes,
you please, love to hear it.
Please, dear daughter, don't leave me. Yeah, we'll get you set up. She's still our oldest is basically betrothed, and our youngest son is basically betrothed, but our daughter is not spoken for yet. So the dowry, well, I guess the dowry is what the father pays, but we're going reverse dowry. You gotta give me some chicken steak. Yeah.
My daughter's reverse mortgages.
Yeah. Exactly. Look at this beautiful little lovely lady. Yeah, come on.
No. Listen, I come from a certain status here, and you're marrying up. Not the other way around. So, you know, you have a bridge to gap into taking my family's wealth. It doesn't come for free.
Yeah. I was hanging out with a buddy.
When you say betrothed, how serious we talking? Are we just like memeing or like, you know, like, is there some validity here?
There's some, obviously it's not serious, or we're not going to hold them to
it. Well, it's not like an arranged marriage, but you know, like there's ideas, and then there's like, you know, total like jokes. You say them just out of absurdity, but there's things that are only half jokes.
No, you know, my wife and I are good stock, if I could say that, and our kids are attractive and intelligent. So, you know, people recognize that. They're like, yeah, you'd be okay to be mother and father-in-law to my son or daughter. So we play along with it. It's half joking, half serious. But you're damn right that we're going to lead our many horses to the same well to drink together and hope that it hits off naturally. I actually am a big physical attraction and biology guy when it comes to mating. Like I want my son and my daughter to be very physically attracted to whoever they get married, because I think that's the natural way of our people for years. Granted, that's not always the case, you know, proximity breeds attraction sometimes, but I think that's how you get really strong alpha Aryan babies, is when you're climbing up the wall for somebody and not like, oh, this is situationally a good arrangement. You know, that's probably why the elites in Europe became so decadent and dumb and counterproductive, as they are getting all these arranged marriages rather than more natural marriages. But that's a somewhat unique take to me. I'm not too high and mighty about it.
I'll get into the Israeli. Oh shit! One other really weird thing. There was one black mother in 2019, age 15, having her fourth child.
That's nice. I mean,
yeah, that is,
what do you even say to that?
Fucked up.
I always remember, I had a hard time remembering R versus K theory, and I just K for KKK. So whites are the K, and the other ones are the hard R theory.
Yeah, hard R selected.
So I don't have like super long, but I did want to. So Nika, did you have additional stuff for it? Because I have a few little background details on that Hezbollah story, but I wasn't sure if you had more you wanted to say first. Also,
yeah, I just want to finish reading out the article here. The U.S. Military Central Command on Friday released a report on its investigation into the episode, that being an attack on the ship, stating that the ship, the Mercer Street, was hit on July 30th by an Iranian-made aerial drone loaded with military-grade explosive, damaging the vessel and killing two victims. It said that two other drones had targeted the ship the day before but missed striking nearby. Quote, explosive experts were able to recover several pieces. The drone that hit the ship, the report said, including a vertical stabilizer and internal components, which were nearly identical. Well, if they're not identical, then I don't know what they're going for. Nearly identical to previously collected examples from Iranian aerial drones. All right, the weasel wording there is kind of fishy. I don't know what to make of that. Israel has been Israel's been calling for more of an international response, and a significant preparation has been made. Has been underway for an Israeli military response against Iran for the attack on the ship, according to three Israeli officials with knowledge of the decision-making process on national security issues, and who asked not to be named when discussing sensitive operational topics. I say name them. Name the Israelis. Despite the heightened tensions between Israel and Iran across the Middle East, both Hezbollah and the Israeli military indicated a desire to avoid escalation and seemed to be trying to defuse the situation. But the Israeli military also said it would not allow attacks to go unhindered along the border. Quote, we do not wish to escalate to a full war, yet we are very prepared for that, said Lieutenant Colonel Amnon Scheffler. The Israeli military said that 19 rockets had been fired from Lebanon and 10 were intercepted by Israel's air defense system, while others landed in open areas. There were no casualties or damage reported on either side. Aww. And Israel said it struck back at the rocket launch sites inside Lebanon. The Israeli military said civilian life along the border could go on as normal and tourist attractions remain open, signaling an expectation that no other major action was imminent at a time when many Israelis are vacationing in the north. Hezbollah also signaled that its rocket salvo was not intended to break the current balance. It said in a statement that its fighters had fired tens of rockets at open land near Israeli sites in a disputed border area known as Sheba Farms. Sheba Farms, known in Israel as Mount Dov, is a strip claimed by Israel, Lebanon, sometimes Syria, near the intersection of all three nations adjacent to the Golan Heights. Hezbollah said its rockets were a response to Israeli airstrikes on Thursday that had also hit open land in southern Lebanon. Israeli airstrikes on Lebanese territory have been rare in recent years. Those strikes came after militants fired rockets into Israel on Wednesday for the second time in 2 weeks. The last few rocket attacks from Lebanon have been attributed to rogue Palestinian groups. Oh my God. Rogue Palestinians. In an embarrassing turn of events for Hezbollah, which prides itself on the secrecy of its military operations, angry residents of a village in southern Lebanon stopped one of the rocket crews after it had fired filmed videos of a launcher in the back of a pickup truck and posted images on social media. So, yeah, I guess people just didn't want the rockets being launched near their house. Understandable.
Well, especially, I mean, so
they're going to like counter strike.
The background for this is, I think, more. I mean, it's more important in some ways than the. I mean, like, yeah, it's definitely noteworthy that Hezbollah is launching attacks. I've seen the Global Resistance News on Telegram is a great source. Highly recommended if you're interested. I've been following them since Israel got BTFO'd a couple months ago, and they're just a great source of news and videos and stuff you wouldn't see or hear otherwise. And I think it needs to be like, first of all, there was that big blast in the, you know, the careless welding incident was the 1 year anniversary of that was on August 4th. Right before this started. So, and in the aftermath of that, which hasn't really been reported on hardly at all, I thought it was noteworthy that, definitely not a coincidence that, I had been hearing actually primarily from, as I mentioned, Global Resistance News on Telegram. I don't know what they're at. Cultures_of_resistance is their t.me. But basically, ever since that incident, because that was like, that's, you know, it's Beirut, it's their capital, it's also the biggest port, pretty much destroyed their shipping industry, that huge explosion, and that pretty much destroyed their economy. So Lebanon has been in a very, very precarious, very bad economic situation, in hyperinflation type stuff on top of just general, you know, economic downturn. They're in a very, very bad situation, very dangerous situation. On top of that, you had a few days ago, as that anniversary was happening, which was, there was, I saw some articles in the New York Times, like basically saying like, oh yeah, it's a really crappy situation in Lebanon, nobody knows about. And then immediately afterwards, these rocket attacks in this exchange, because the Israelis were also shelling Lebanon, started. Oh, now we're getting echo.
Frank's back. Frank?
Hello.
No, I just said Frank's back because he started echoing. You know, he's back. Yeah. Tinker at the control panel.
Anyway, so immediately after this quasi-sob story in the New York Times about how bad conditions in Lebanon have gotten over the past year, this exchange started. And there was also this, the Asphalt Princess is a tanker flagged for Panama, which, you know, Panama and Armenian flags are flags of convenience, meaning you could basically, anyone can get one. I don't know anything about the ownership of this, but there were reports, the crew saying that 5 to 6 Iranians with guns had boarded the ship and were redirecting it. The claim in the Zionist media is that these were Iranian military personnel. The Iranian military has denied involvement. I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of irrelevant. It could be Iran. They could be Iranian without being, you know, like part, you know, elements of the Iranian military, or who knows really. But there's definitely gay ops happening multiple directions, multiple ways. And this situation remains, I think, more volatile than people necessarily appreciate, particularly people who, you know, most Americans, even our guys, don't really pay too much attention to foreign policy stuff. And I, you know, this is something you should be paying attention to for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is one of the big wild cards in the conflict, the 11-day war, as they're calling it, earlier this year, was the fact that while Hezbollah and Iran, the Iranian Revolutionary Corps, provided some amount of logistical support, they did not directly engage in hostilities. They are now directly engaging in hostilities, and this seems, I mean, it's impossible to see this as anything other than at some level, some kind of a continuation of that conflict from earlier this year. And that's how the Israeli security apparatus is seeing it. Benny Gantz is out there, and the, you know, Israeli the government is treating this as, you know, basically like they don't think this is over.
The fact that, you know, all sides see this as part of the same eternal race war.
Right.
Well, yeah, new prime minister, exactly. needs to prove hostile and war hawk bona fides.
Yep.
And
there's,
yeah,
definitely that aspect as well. Yep.
I saw the same sob stories about Lebanon and listen on NPR. It's funny, a bunch of our guys listen to NPR. We can only do it for like 10 to 20 minutes at a time, you know, sort of like enemy surveillance.
Yeah,
just to get exactly the zeitgeist. It's all, you know, boohoo COVID stuff mostly. But, you know, they did this whole thing where, you know, the poor Lebanese couldn't even afford to sacrifice goats, and I'm not even making fun there. You know, normally at the end of Ramadan and Eid, etc., they would, you know, have a little feast, etc. And this year, they're too broke, too rampant inflation. And I saw that, you know, Israel's hitting them again. My first thought was, oh yeah, that's just what those people need. And then the second one, of course, was just like they Israel literally is regularly committing outright acts of war against neighbor one, neighbor two, neighbor three. Oh, you're building a little nuke plant there? No, we're going to strike that with virtually little pushback. And it reminded me, yeah, it's like Dr. Evil and Mini-Me. You know, the United States is, where did you learn it, son? Well, we learned it from watching Israel. Yeah, just get away with unilateral strikes no pushback, maybe a little bit of reproach here and there, and they wonder why they hate us.
It's worth noting also that as part of that, I mean, you know, obviously Israel's territorial ambitions are well known, and the number one target really after the, I guess, like the remainder of Palestine, the province of former province of Palestine is Lebanon. I mean, that's basically their smallest, weakest neighbor.
Yep.
They occupy,
divided.
You know,
yeah.
Exactly. They have their internal ethnic divisions, you know, fueled, of course, by Israel as well and gay ops and stuff. So watch out for some kind of move on Lebanese territory. That said, they basically tried the same thing in 2006 and got eternally BTFO'd
by
the brave. It was really, really bad. And they were shocked, frankly, at how many losses they took and just how implacable the Hezbollah resistance to their offensive was. So, and I'm sure that, you know, that also is, I mean, if you want to understand sort of what's happening geopolitically, like the one of the big takeaways, maybe the single biggest takeaway of the recent 11-day war was just how much advanced, how far, like they were already really good at countering the Israeli military in 2006. They've gotten way better since then. And it's a big problem. It's a big, big problem for them. They didn't understand how big a problem it was for them until it ended. And it basically ended in a humiliating defeat for the Israelis, where they realized they were not, I mean, yeah, they could kill a bunch of Palestinian women and children and, you know, blow up hospitals and office buildings, but that wasn't going to really meaningfully impact, Hamas's ability to resist the Zionist occupation, in any way. And like, watch this space for further developments, I guess, is all I would say.
I watch eagerly. But for some action,
anyway,
out here.
I think, Frank, are we back? Can we, I think I have to go in any case, but are we hopefully, did we manage to glide this to a graceful conclusion? Frank, are you there?
Boom.
Frank, please.
Oh, no. Nikkei, are you able to remain on stream and, like, see that we can? Because I don't want to lose the episode or anything.
I heard him just hit a drop, so I know he's there.
Okay, great. Okay, great. Well, in any case, as I said, I got to run. But
yeah, I'm gonna
I hope out. You all have enjoyed your bonus content. Coach, again, I want to just reiterate everything Spectre said. It's an honor and a privilege to have you on. I'm really glad we were able to talk, and I look forward to doing so again in the future. Thank you so much for all you do. First and foremost, of course, you're raising your beautiful family, but also sharing your insight and your wisdom with us. My children are, you know, quite a bit younger than yours, and I definitely look forward to. There we go in the background. So I'm gonna run, but thanks again. Yep. Take care, guys.
Yep. See ya. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.